Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston, and nobody else. Father McKay is on vacation still, hopefully getting plenty of R&R near the beach. I think his plans for today were to sit on the deck of the house and watch the tall smokestack in Ocean City be imploded and leveled to the ground. But they ask you to keep Father in your prayers. He's doing fine, just getting some much-needed R&R between his two. You'd think it'd be two part-time jobs, but really two full-time jobs between Our House Ministries and being the rector out at the retreat house in Malvern. So getting some much-needed rest. Father, if you're listening, hang in there, pal. We'll see you in a few days and continue to get that much-needed rest. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. I will tell you that Father's time is limited, so if you're looking for something, we need to plan it far enough in advance that they'll have some availability. A reminder that our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church is alive and well and open on Tuesdays and Thursdays, starting around 9 a.m. after the 8:30 daily mass. Again, that's on Tuesdays and Thursdays and open until about 5 o'clock. On Tuesdays, we have our Talbot Tuesdays, where we have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament from 3 until 4 o'clock, and then Matt Talbot Novena Prayers and Benediction to follow. And on Thursdays, we pray a rosary together at 4 o'clock. So come on down and join us. If you are going to come down, reach out to us through the Our House Ministries website. Let us know you're coming, and we'll try to make arrangements to meet with you over in the church. Also, coming up this weekend, kind of short notice, I've been asked to direct a retreat, Matt Talbot retreat, down at Camp Arrowhead in Lewis, Delaware. Going to be a relatively small group, but I think you still might be able to get in on it if you're interested. I'd ask you to reach out to me, and I can put you in touch with the gentleman that's putting together the reservations. You can call me or send me a text message at 215-327-3236. 215-327-3236. I think that's it in terms of announcements. Coming up, Monday night, October the 30th, Kathleen McCarthy will be out at the Malvern Retreat House for an evening of Spiritual Warfare 2023, How the Enemy Targets Our Families and How to Stop It. Kathleen will be the speaker. Things get underway at 6 o'clock with Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. There'll be a rosary and worship music from 6:30 to 7:30. Kathleen will present at 7:30 and fellowship to follow. The evening is free, but they ask you to reserve your seat at salvationofsouls.net. That's salvationofsouls.net. Again, the seats are free. They just need to know how many people are showing up. So salvationofsouls.net, and that's Monday night, October the 30th, beginning at 6 o'clock p.m. I also want to put out there, a couple of weeks ago, I kind of resurrected my own website, and I've started publishing articles at least on a weekly basis. The next few weeks, I'll probably be doing two a week. And the website is notsaintsyet.org, and the articles are getting posted on a website called Substack, where a lot of writers, independent writers and what have you, will put their information out there. I am not a writer by trade, but some of the work I've been doing, I thought other people might be interested in. So if you go to notsaintsyet.substack.com, that's notsaintsyet.substack.com. I've got three articles out there already, and we'll be posting a couple this coming weekend. You can sign up for a free subscription. I'm not asking people to do the paid subscription, although if you care to support me, you're more than welcome. I think there'll be some interesting things I'll be writing about in the next few weeks, and give you a lot more background on myself and the ministry and things that I'm involved in. All right. Without any further ado, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Most Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph, pray for us. Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. St. Mark G. and St. Monica, pray for us. St. Pope John Paul II, St. Anthony Mary Claret, and St. John Capistrano, pray for us. Saints Simon and Jude, pray for us. Our patron saints and guardian angels, pray for us. All the saints and angels, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join the conversation. The number is 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Would appreciate your calls as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. And if God's touched you in a particular way recently and you want to witness it to our listeners, we would love to have you call in. Just have that holy boldness. Be just like you and I are talking on the phone. You just might be a few other people listening in. We are currently in the 29th week in Ordinary Time, and time just seems to be flying by. Before we know it, it'll be Thanksgiving and flipping over the liturgical calendar. But for now, we are in the 29th week. On Sunday the 22nd, we celebrated St. John Paul II, of course, the Pope. On Monday the 23rd, St. John of Capistrano, a priest. Yesterday the 24th, St. Anthony Mary Claret, a bishop. And on Saturday the 28th, we'll celebrate two apostles, St. Simon and St. Jude. And before we get into the saints, just want to give my condolences to all our Philadelphia Phillies fans. The last couple of games were a little tough to watch, you know, but as I'm watching, you know, I understand how important sports can be in some people's lives, and even if you're a devout Christian, a devout Catholic, you know, sometimes these sports teams get on a roll, and it's an opportunity for us to get together. And, you know, some of the greatest times I had as a kid were the parade for the 1980 Phillies, and showing off my age. You know, when Flyers won championships, and it just seemed like the city rallied together and all would be okay for at least a day. And I think a lot of us thought that that was going to happen again this year. And unfortunately, it didn't. And, you know, the nice thing about being a Christian or a Catholic is, you know, that's like icing on the cake when things are going well in our city and for sports teams. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people that, you know, it just ruined their day today. And it may ruin their week or their month. Who knows? But some people are so, you know, tied to the ups and downs of a sports team. And there was probably a time in my past where it was that way for me. But, you know, for about 5 minutes last night after the game was over, I turned it off as soon as the game was over. I was talking to Maureen when I got here. Nobody wanted to watch the Diamondbacks celebrate. But, you know, like 5 minutes after the game was over, it's like, all right, Lord, what's going on tomorrow? What do I need to get prepared for? And going to prayer and those types of things. And, you know, for a lot of other people, it wasn't that way. Like I said, it could ruin their ruin them for, you know, an extended period of time. And I remember hearing years ago about the amount of crime that would occur when the Philadelphia Eagles would lose on a Sunday afternoon. You know, and it was just people maybe had too much to drink and get angry and what have you, and things would happen. And, you know, it's a shame that, you know, people's lives can be, you know, completely determined. You know, their attitudes can be determined by something that they have absolutely no control over and has absolutely nothing at all to do with our Lord. And so, you know, I thank God every day for his presence in my life, and especially, you know, at times like this when I can, remember the days where it may have set me off. But today, like I said, 5-10 minutes after the game was over, it's like, all right, let's get on to the important business. And, you know, it's that important business is, you know, saving my own soul and trying to help other people to save theirs. And I need to do that only because that's the gift that God has given me. I did not get the Mass today. You know, one of the beauties of working with Father McKay full-time at the ministry is usually you have an opportunity to get the daily Mass because they'll offer Mass for us. And, you know, today I didn't get there, but as part of our contemplative prayer group, we read the gospel today, you know, and those final lines from the gospel from Luke where, you know, to those whom much is given, much is expected. And, you know, we learned that real well in a 12-step program. You know, it's actually our 12th step. You know, it says having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to practice these principles in all our affairs and share the gift with other people. You know, and I often wish it had said, you know, having had a spiritual experience, we sat on the beach for the rest of our lives and sipped virgin coladas, but that's not how it works. You know, the only way we get to keep this thing is by sharing it with other people. And I think that the same applies to our faith, and that, you know, the depth of our faith is retained by how much we share it. And at least for me, and being able to be surrounded by other like-minded people who are on a similar path that I'm on, and they're willing to share their faith with me and I with them. And together we can help get each other to heaven. And so, you know, I saw that in today's gospel and the very end of it there. And if you've been granted this gift of faith, you're pretty much obligated to share it with other people. And, can't hide it under the bushel basket, as Jesus would say. And it's not always easy. A lot of times, even in our own families, communities, and what have you, people don't want to hear the message. And I hearken back to my the Thursdays before First Friday, when I was at Holy Martyrs, and the teachers would take us down to church to practice the songs for Friday. And it seemed to me like we sang the same songs every First Friday, and one of them was, "They'll know we are Christians by our love." You know, we don't have to walk outside and raise our Bibles in the air and preach, you know, chapter and verse. You know, people will know we're Christians by our love and by the things that we do for other people and how we help them. So we don't have to be evangelists or televangelists or go get our own radio shows or, you know, browbeat our family members. We do it by our witness, day in and day out, hopefully. And in that way, we share the gift that God has given us free of charge. You know, all we had to do is to turn to him and do it on a daily basis. And, you know, who knows where we're going to end up. You know, the front half of that gospel today, you know, talks about our houses being raided. And when they are, we're not going to be told the day or the hour that it's going to happen, that we need to be prepared. And in the 5 o'clock hour today, I'll be joined by Peter DePalma and Father B. Thomas Celso. And we'll be talking about Louisa Picaretta and one of her writings, interactions that she had with Jesus about what was going on at the time in Italy in 1932 when she got her message. And, you know, it's not a whole lot different than what was going on today. World War One. They're about halfway between World War One and World War Two, I guess closer to World War Two. And Jesus knew it was coming. He must have known, because the Blessed Mother told the kids at Fatima that World War Two was coming if the people didn't change their ways and what have you. And Jesus was preparing Louisa Picaretta for us. And it's right out of today's gospel that, you know, we need to be ready. And, you know, who knows what's going on in this particular time that we're sitting in. A couple of weeks ago, if you had told us that Hamas was going to, you know, raid Israel and the response was going to be what it was, and this increased turmoil. On top of that, we have a hurricane in Mexico. We have earthquakes in Morocco and Afghanistan. You got flooding in Libya. You got fires in Canada and Hawaii. And that's just what's on the front page. I'm sure around the world that there's, you know, other things going on. It doesn't mean that, you know, the end of the world's coming before we go to Mass on Sunday. It is coming at some point, but it doesn't hurt to get ready now, because even if it doesn't come, if the Lord decides, you know, not to have our houses raided, but to take us in our sleep tonight, we'll be ready. And I don't know that I'm quite 100% ready yet. I did get the confession on Monday, so from that point of view, I'm kind of ready, but you know, it's not a bad idea to get our own houses in order and to be ready. And, you know, one of the saints this week, St. John of Capistrano, you know, he was going through it too. It's not like this is the only time in history where there's been, you know, major problems, not only with the world, but within our church. And St. John Capistrano, whose feast day we celebrated on Monday, he went through it in the 14th century. A third of the population and 40% of the clergy got wiped out in the bubonic plague. There was issues with the Franciscan order. There was turmoil over interpretations and observance of St. Francis's rule. And you know, John of Capistrano was instrumental in trying to get it all worked out. And you know, they were able to get, you know, back to business as St. Francis of Assisi would have preferred. He also helped bring about a brief reunion with the Greek and the Armenian churches. And then when things really went south and the Turks captured Constantinople in 1453, John went over and preached, not only preached a crusade for the defense of Europe, but he decided to go to Hungary. And he actually led the army to Belgrade under a general John Hunyadi, where they gained an overwhelming victory, and the siege of Belgrade was lifted. Unfortunately, you know, after all this strenuous work that he did, both in his religious life and then, you know, riding along with the with this crusade, he was a little bit worn down and would die of an infection after the battle. And that was on October 23rd, 1456. So, you know, it's less than 600 years ago. And, you know, going through the similar things to what we're going through now, maybe with the issues with the Franciscans wasn't quite the whole church, but we're, you know, trying to make sense of, you know, what people are saying and what's going on. And, you know, it is a great time for prayer and fasting. I know our Archbishop Nelson Perez has forwarded a couple of messages from Pope Francis, again asking for prayer and fasting this coming Friday for the tensions in the Middle East. And I would suggest that it, you know, be offered for everything that's going on, the Middle East, the Ukraine and Russia, with whatever it is that's going on with the Synod in Rome. A lot of it's not being talked about because my understanding is reporters aren't allowed in, and the folks that are there are not supposed to talk to reporters. Not sure I quite understand why, but you know, it's just the way it is. And so, you know, there's a lot of turmoil again around the world within our church, and a lot of times that'll translate to issues within our families and communities and what have you. So, you know, prayer and fasting is always a good thing, especially on Fridays. A lot of folks will do it on Wednesday and Friday. So, and I had responded online somewhere to somebody when they were talking about some of the turmoil, and I suggested prayer and fasting, and somebody responded and said, you know, don't, you know, you got to watch with the fasting. Not everybody can fast. And a lot of times you don't know what is behind people's motivations of writing. And I think it's safe to assume that what he was talking about was food. And certainly if you're a little bit older, if you're diabetic, you know, whatever it is, you can't fast from food. But you know, I've come to learn over the years hanging out with my good friend Father McKay that there's other things that we can fast from, like social media, or fast from TV, or whatever it is that's distracting us from God. You know, it doesn't just have to be food. We can fast from a whole lot of things. So I put that out there for you, especially if you're, you know, getting caught up and maybe watching too much news or reading the paper too much, you know, to put that stuff aside for a bit. It's still going to turn out the same whether you're reading about it and worrying about it, because it's, you know, one of the beauties of the 12-step program and the first step. I'm powerless over what our leaders are going to decide to do in all these in these affairs. The one thing I do have control over is how I react to it and my involvement as far as prayer goes, and to offer up as many prayers and rosaries and everything else that we can for the conversion of the folks that are making these decisions. We do have a caller on the line. We're going to go to Frank, and let's get it right. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
All right. I hope you're doing better this week, brother.
Well, I thought I'd be doing okay last week, but this week I'm not good. Actually, it's every week, but just when I listen to your program, I always feel better, though.
Ah, good.
But you mentioned about fasting. Believe it or not, I fast from AA, but not what you think. Not what you think. Alcohol and anchovies.
Ah, there you go. I don't have to fast from anchovies. I'd never put one near my mouth to begin with.
I was a little kid. My parents got one pizzas. Yeah. I didn't like them in the 70s. I never tried them again. So I fast from aqua and anchovies.
Good for you, brother.
What did I call it? Again, I forgot. Captain Lou gave me a call. I forgot it was Wednesday again. I told you, I may call in okay. I'm happy because it's, you know, Bother Doug and Ken show every Wednesday. I'm not doing good. Just things are happening. Sorry, things. Nothing's different happening today that hasn't happened before. It's just that I'm tired of what I have, which ain't much. And, yeah, it stinks. This morning, for the first time in 3.5 years, I even thought about drinking. It lasted for 5 or 10 seconds. I was like, no, boozing is losing. My life sucks. I can't see. I can barely walk. No matter what I eat, it bothers my stomach. I can't do anything. I pretend it's okay, but it's not. I hate it. Captain Luke keeps saying it's demonic. We had a big argument. Not argument. Disagreement. Last night. It's not demonic. That has got nothing to do with it. It's just that I don't have no options. There's no treatment for my illnesses. There's no cure for it. There's no nothing. They get worse with time. Now look where I'm at. Meaning my medical problems are bad, and it will get worse. And just reality. But booze is losing. Yeah. I thought about it briefly, but no big deal. That's going. I just hate where I'm at. Yeah. I wish I wasn't here no more. I wish I could just die. I wish the Lord came to me and says, Frank, are you ready? I'm like, yes, take me. Take me.
Yeah. Well, God will take you when he's ready to take you. He's leaving you around here for some purpose. And you may not know what that is until you meet God face to face. I don't know if it's so you're here that so you can call in every Wednesday. And, you know, I think, Frank, about, you know, last week you weren't doing all that well, but 3 weeks ago you sounded great. And I know things have changed since then. It was last week when you called and it said you had been to the doctor and they've kind of run out of options. I don't know if there's other doctors out there. We don't know if anybody's on the brink of, you know, finding something that might help you in the situation that you're in. I'm certainly not a medical doctor. I know a good one that I can put you in touch with, but you know, he's not making this happen, and he's not up there waving a, you know, some kind of magic wand and saying I'm going to zap Frank today. But he does allow it to happen for some purpose, and I don't know what that is. I know up until 2 weeks ago or up until last week when you were doing really well and you would call in and you know, Father and I were talking about, you know, the days a couple of years ago where I think you were kind of in the same spot that you're in right now. But when you were calling in, how great you felt, and you could hear the joy in your voice. And I know that there's ups and downs and that you got some news that you really didn't want to get. But I have to believe, Frank, that God's allowing this to happen for some greater good. I don't know what it is, and we may not find out for a while yet. But, you know, I know our listeners that hear you call each week definitely have you in prayer. And, you know, and that other thing, when you wake up in the morning and you're not feeling that great and you think about drinking, that's what you expect to have happen is somebody that's got an addiction or an alcohol problem.
I haven't thought about it. Yeah. I've been sober since March of 2020. Maybe after the first 6 months, I never thought about it. Just more, I just thought about it because I'm so down.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, then 5-10 seconds, I just remember booze is losing. My situation is bad, but one, I can't afford to buy drinks anymore. But if I could, guess what? I'll be worse.
Yeah, it's not going to fix anything. You might get some temporary relief, but you know, we both know that's not going to fix anything. So.
Just to let you know, you said about your doctor, my problem is a genetic mutation taking away my vision and tightening and messing up muscles in my whole body, along with digestion problems and other stuff too. But I mean, the two big things, how about this digestion? Just the eyes and the muscles in my legs and my whole body, just tight, stiff, and heavy, weak, and numb. I have a hard time getting around.
Yeah.
It stinks.
Wow.
I spend most of the time laying in bed listening to the radio.
Gotcha.
Anyway, Ken.
Yeah, like hang I in said, there, brother.
I'm fasting from AA. Don't worry, people. Don't worry, Bill W. It's alcohol and anchovies.
You still have my number, Frank?
I never had your number.
Yeah, you did. We talked directly.
Well, never did, Ken.
Okay.
I'm not near pen and paper. I can't write things down as I can see.
Okay.
Barely. They give it to Marine, where Marine has it.
Yeah.
Captain Lou can contact her somehow and give it to me.
Okay.
I'll get it that way.
All right, pal. We'll be in touch.
Have a good one. Ken, one more thing.
Yeah.
You there? Father Doug, if you're listening, you're on break right now. You got a break when you're hired. Knock it off and get back here.
Yeah. You got all of eternity to rest.
I'm only kidding, Father Doug.
Yeah.
Have a good one, Ken.
All right, you too, Frank. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. I got Mike on the line. We'll go ahead and head over there. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken. How are you, buddy?
All right, brother. How are you?
Good. Good to hear you, man. Thanks for being in service. It's nice to hear you every week.
Yeah. How's things at the shore?
Good, man. Good. I just had an honor God this morning. We went to the post office, and I had to redo my passport. Who would have thought, right? I couldn't get out of Philadelphia at one time. They wouldn't let me. But anyway, we're standing at the counter, and we're getting done doing everything. And Carol said, oh, there was a dime. I said, oh, my God, how about that? And the guy behind the counter was from North Catholic, you know. And Carol explained to him, like, yeah, whenever you find a dime, it says, it lets you know God's with you. And he said, I went to 12 years of Catholic school and never heard that. He said, well, we didn't hear it in school. We heard it from a priest, you know.
Yeah.
And so we said goodbye and stuff like that. And we were going to Tuckahoe Inn to get something to eat. And before that, we went up to Ocean City Boardwalk. So we spent some time up Ocean City Boardwalk, and we're walking down a boardwalk, and who we run into? Father Doug. So, yeah, unbelievable.
Amen.
We stopped, and we started talking, and we talked about the program and the radio station. I said, what a good job you're doing. And he says, oh, without me? You know, of course he said that, right? So yeah. Then we're talking about the Phillies and all that. He said, oh, yeah, the guys that hit the home runs and all. He said, oh, they remind me when I was a kid. Of course. It was just so good to see him. And we talked about God and this world and how everything's happening. And, there's a reason for it. And, like, God, there's no God in anybody's life, it seems like. And, but it's all coming around, yeah. And but it was nice seeing him. And, yeah. Looks good and sounds good, and hopefully be back soon.
All right. Yeah,
that
man.
Was my honor, God.
Nah, I appreciate it, pal.
Yeah. It's nice to hear you, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks for the call, Michael.
All right. And
take
care.
It easy. All right, that takes us to the bottom of the hour. I'll give out the phone numbers again. If you have an honor God like Mike just had, please call us, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, Father DeLacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy, in particular, has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart. And when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906. Or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. And thank you for all that you do for us, both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years now. And I really appreciate what you do in order to allow me to be here on Wednesdays. If it weren't for those prayers and your donations, I wouldn't be able to continue to do these shows for Kathleen. So especially in these difficult times. You know, you watch one news source and they tell you it's the greatest of times, that the economy's great, and I know it's not when I find myself going to three or four different supermarkets because I don't buy anything now that's not on sale, and looking around for the cheapest gas, and we're getting ready to pay winter heating bills and those types of things. So I know money's tight for a lot of people, and it just means that we're even more grateful for all that you do for us here. You know, one thing we don't promote a lot, but you can sponsor this show. And if you go to the website at ourhouseministries.org, on the Our Donate page, there's an opportunity there to sponsor the hour. You can learn about it there. And you can always call Maureen here at 610-527-2906 and offer to sponsor the hour. She'll let you know how to go about that. So, again, thank you for all that you do for us here. Father McKay are involved in a great organization for Catholics that are in 12-step programs. And we don't limit it to Catholics. Anybody's more than welcome to join us. But it's called the Calyx Society, where our motto is that we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. And it's where we have an opportunity to get together and talk about our program in light of our Catholic faith. And, you know, we can throw around Jesus' name where we can't always do that in a 12-step program meeting, or 12-step meeting, if you will. Father and I get together every Tuesday night in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. We're usually in the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street, where we start with 6 o'clock adoration and benediction, followed by Mass, and then a Calyx meeting. On the third Tuesday of each month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church, and we have a 6 o'clock Holy Hour, where we have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, prayers, litanies, litany to Matt Talbot, and then benediction, followed by Mass at 7 o'clock. So that's on the third Tuesday. That'll be November 16th. There is no meeting. Everybody's more than welcome to come down and join us. And the prayer is really for those that are in recovery, that they stay in recovery. Those that should be in recovery and aren't, the active addicts, we pray for them. And most importantly, we pray for their friends and family members who love them and who are really being put through the ringer because of the alcoholic or addict and their family. So all are more than welcome to join us again. That's on the third Tuesday of the month in November. That'll be November the 16th. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown, they meet on the first and third Thursday of the month. And their next meeting will be next Thursday, which I believe is November the 2nd. We'll be here November the 1st for All Saints Day. So, yes, November the 2nd, 7 o'clock in their parish center. The unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media meets on the second Saturday of the month. They go to the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass. And then have a Calyx meeting after. They will gather on Saturday, November the 11th. The Glenside unit at my home parish of St. Luke's meets on the third Saturday of the month. We go to the 8:30 Mass in the morning, followed by a Calyx meeting. And in November, that'll be November the 18th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, and then go to the Calyx meeting. They will meet on Saturday, October the 28th. That's this coming Saturday. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, there's a Calyx group that gets together every Wednesday at St. Matthew's. They go to there's a Mass at 6:15 p.m., followed by a Calyx meeting. And I mentioned earlier, in 5 o'clock hour today, I'm going to be joined by Peter DePalma and Father B. Thomas Celso. It's the last Wednesday of the month, so we'll be talking about the gift of the divine will, especially in light of what's happening in the world today. So you're going to want to stick around in the 5 o'clock hour. So we did not get any calls for Odd or God. I will I'll share one quick one with you. I think I had shared one last week or the week before about being at the Eucharistic prayer meeting that we have at St. Luke's every Thursday at 8 o'clock, and everybody's welcome to that, by the way. Sometimes we have musicians come in, we'll pray the rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and have benediction. That's at St. Luke's every Thursday at 7:30. But a couple of weeks ago, A woman with an Irish brogue sat a couple of pews behind me, and I just had this sense that if I had ever had an opportunity to pray the rosary with my grandmother, that that's what it would have sounded like. And then last night we had our Calyx meeting down in South Philly, and there was a woman that was there for the first time, and her first name was Mary Alice, which happens to be my grandmother's name. And in my 62 years, I don't think I've ever met anybody else named Mary Alice. I knew that that was my grandmother's name, but I've never come across another since then. And what was also odd or God about it was that we both have the same amount of time, not to the day, but in years since our last drink, 31 years since we took our last drink. So, you know, it was kind of, you know, odd or God when she was there last night and introduced herself and spoke a little bit. And, you know, you never know who we're going to run into, the folks that God's going to put in your life and the impact that it's going to have. I'm sure when she was planning on coming last night, she had never been to a Calyx meeting before, and yet God saw fit to have her show up in Grace Ferry and, you know, have that impact on me. And it wasn't a chance meeting. You know, God knew from the beginning of time that was going to happen. And, you know, I thank God for it. You know, just the reminder of who my grandmother was, even though I had never had an opportunity to meet her. So phone lines are still open, 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or call toll-free at 888-343-2484. One of the saints that we celebrated yesterday, another saint for our time, St. Anthony Mary Claret, and he would end up founding a religious order of priests, even though his last name, I think, is pronounced Claret. I think the order is called the Claretians, Claretians. And he was another one who as a kid, his family would make pilgrimages to a Marian shrine. His parents taught him to pray the rosary, but they didn't intend for him to be a religious. He would go off and learn how to develop a craft with weaving at a large textile mill so he could be a part of and probably take over the family business. And so, you know, like I say, at 17, he went off to learn more about weaving. And then in his free time, he would study Latin and French, and as well as engraving and printing. And then eventually went to the seminary, where he was ordained a priest at the age of 28. He would start out preaching in his home area of Catalonia in Spain. And he was a great preacher, and then was given the official title of apostolic missionary. And he would preach about the devotion to our Lord's real presence in the Holy Eucharist, which we need now more than ever. You know, our bishops have recognized that with the 3-year emphasis on the Eucharist, and, you know, trying to bring people back around to the fact that it is the real presence in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, you know, St. Anthony Mary Claret is somebody that we can invoke when we're hoping that, you know, we grow deeper in that belief, and that friends and family who have strayed, where maybe they still go to church but don't believe in the true presence, to invoke St. Anthony Mary Claret to help enlighten them. From Catalonia, Spain, he got sent off to the Canary Islands off the coast of West Africa. He got there in March of 1848, so having been born in 1807, he's 41 years old. He would use his knowledge of the printing press to go ahead and start printing books and pamphlets for the people in the islands. And he was there a relatively short time. He's only there 13 months, and that's when he goes back to Spain. That's when he founded the Religious Institute of Missionaries. And the Claretians is the short name. The long name, Congregation of the Missionary Sons of the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so I guess thankfully they call it the Claretians. It's good to know the background of it. But again, the Missionary Sons of the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then when it first got started, it was just Anthony and five other priests who started it. They put together the constitutions, but it would didn't get approved for quite a while. Once they started this, he actually got sent to Cuba. He was consecrated a bishop in 1850 and sent off to Santiago, Cuba, where apparently things were a mess. And he gets there, and people aren't practicing the faith. There's a lot of dealings with prostitutes and concubines and people not going to confession and what have you. And so he just started preaching and hearing confessions. And he required every parish to offer a public rosary at least on Sunday and feast days. You know, a lot of the parishes that we go to now, you know, we see rosaries being prayed either before or after Mass, a great thing. If you're not in the habit of showing up early or hanging out afterwards, maybe think about it. If you get there, if you arrive 15 minutes early, chances are you're hearing them wrap up a rosary or be two-thirds of the way. If you got there at 8, you know, a half hour before, you could participate in the whole rosary. So find out if your parish is doing it and feel free to join in. But under St. Anthony Marie Claret, large numbers of people in Cuba did receive the sacrament of confirmation. They would straighten out their marriages and get them regularized, and they would start to go back to confession. He also set up additional dioceses, doubled the number of dioceses there in Cuba, and he visited all the parishes in that diocese at least once every 18 months. He reopened a seminary there in Cuba, and apparently before he got there, they hadn't ordained a priest in 30 years. And so he reopened the seminary. Next thing you know, they're ordaining priests again, and it also oversaw the establishment of several religious communities in Cuba. Eventually, you know, he does all this work in Cuba, and, you know, God never leaves us in one place. You know, we get somewhere and sometimes we get comfortable, and God says, all right, well, enough of you there, I need you over here. And that's what he did with St. Anthony. He got through the powers that be. He was given a sermon in March of 1857, and during that sermon somebody comes up and gives him a message that he's been summoned back to Europe to be the spiritual director for Queen Isabella II of Spain. And he used to be her spiritual director and confessor. And he really didn't want to give up the work that he was doing. And but out of obedience, he leaves Cuba a couple weeks later and sails back to Spain. The last thing he said to the people of Cuba, goodbye, children, until we meet in heaven. He goes back to Spain, and he refused to be a part of the court. He wasn't going to take part in the court functions. He wasn't going to live in the castle or on the grounds of where the queen lived, and, you know, wasn't going to be bathed in luxury. So he, you know, continued to live a life of somewhat poverty away from the queen, but, you know, taking care of catechizing her kids, obviously offering the Mass and being her confessor. Then because he was back in Spain, he was able to get back to his efforts establishing the order that wasn't finished when he left for Spain. And so in 1869, Anthony got permission to go to Rome, and he obtained further approval of his religious order. The Pope at that time was Pope Pius IX. He would invite St. Anthony Marie Claret to attend the First Vatican Council. He actually got invited to take part in the preparatory meetings and the council itself. He was really played a role behind the idea of papal infallibility, and would speak profoundly on that. St. Anthony Marie Claret would die in a Cistercian monastery in southern France on October the 24th, 1870, and canonized on May the 7th, 1950, so 80 years later, and canonized by Pope Pius the 12th. One of the things that we mentioned earlier, even the name of his order being involved with the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, he was really into the rosary. praying the rosary, promoting the rosary, so much so that Father Donald Calloway showcased his devotion in the book Champions of the Rosary. It's a great book about people throughout history that were promoters of the rosary. And I'll give another shameless plug for my writing website, notsaintsyet.substack.com. And in addition to the regular articles that I put out on Friday, I'm going to do a series of my own articles on the rosary as well. A lot of it having been learned from Father McKay and some others about different ways to pray the rosary and use the rosary. But it was very important in the life of St. Anthony Mary. And just a couple of things that he said regarding the importance of the rosary. One of them was, it can be said that the rosary is a compendium of our holy religion. And you know how true that is, especially after St. John Paul II added the luminous mysteries. You know, we go from the Annunciation, the beginning of Christ's life as a baby in the womb, all the way up until the coronation of Mary after Jesus' ascension and Pentecost and what have you. One of the things you'll learn if you take a look at what's writing is I've actually added five of my own mysteries, the prevenient mysteries, and it's about the life of Mary up until the Annunciation. So, you know, her Immaculate Conception, how the Immaculate Conception was never a mystery of the Rosary, has kind of baffled me recently. So I decided to come up with my own, and they include the Immaculate Conception. And these are all celebrated, most of them celebrated by the Church. Her Immaculate Conception, the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is coming up on November 21st, an important anniversary in my life. That's the date that I became a Knight of the Immaculata back in 1997. And then the fifth mystery is Mary's betrothal to Joseph. And I was trying to, I had to come up with a fourth mystery in between. And I landed on Mary's life as a temple virgin. And we learned that. We were actually talking about it last week when I had the two gentlemen from Poland on, and we were talking about the life of Mary. And, you know, in that book, they detail some of the information that's found in the Proto-Evangelium of James, kind of his James's gospel. And that's where we learn the names of Mary's parents, Joachim and Anna, and a little bit about Mary's childhood. And they had delayed her presentation at the temple for a while, or bringing her to the temple as a temple virgin. And I believe it's at the age of three where they would take her and take her to the temple and basically drop her off, and she would be a part of temple life until she was a teenager or a little bit before being a teenager, as was the custom in those days. And so I've come up with my own prevenient mysteries, and I'll be writing about them in the days and weeks to come. The second thing that St. Anthony Mary Claret mentioned was that the Most Holy Rosary is an abundant mind through which Christians, praying and meditating with attention and devotion, become enriched with great merits. And how true that is. The people that I know that try to make the rosary part of their daily life are just a different breed. And because we're meditating on the life of Christ, especially on the Passion, that there are merits that come from that, some tangible, but for the most part, they're merits that we gain on our eternal soul. And, you know, we're going to carry those merits with us when we meet God face to face, and He'll know that we've been praying that rosary and how much time that we've spent contemplating His Passion, something that a lot of the saints have in common. The third and another profound thing that he said was the Most Holy Rosary is the most powerful, easy, and gentle means for dispelling ignorance and for removing errors and heresies. And I think that's important in today's age when there's so much going on within and without the church. And, you know, it's all part of this, whatever it is, whether you want to call it wokeness, the New World Order, the Great Reset, but where whatever you want, whatever label you want to put on it, you know, where we're at a point in time now where things just 50 years ago that were never said, never talked about, never even possible, are not only possible today, but they're telling us that's the right thing, you know. Whether it's people trying to change their sex, which we know that they can't do, you can try as hard as you want, but you can't change your chromosomes, at least not today. I'm sure that there's people out there still trying to figure out a way to do it, but you know, just the stuff that goes on today in this crazy world of ours, and you know, things like I say, 50 years ago, the things that were dead wrong are dead right now. And not only are they dead right, but if you don't subscribe to it, you're called all kinds of nice names. And so, you know, the answer for that is prayer. The number one weapon in a prayer life is the rosary. It's interesting that the different podcasts, things that I read, it's just more and more of these things. You just see people holding up their rosaries, and that's today's sword. And, you know, that's the weapon that the Blessed Mother has been asking us to use ever since she introduced it to St. Dominic centuries ago. But more importantly, in the last 110 years or so, starting with Fatima, maybe even before that, but the importance of praying that daily rosary, to have those beads in our hands and contemplate the life of Christ. And, you know, it's not about the number of Hail Marys and Our Fathers and Glory Bees. It's the meditation on those mysteries. And so much so that, Father McKay, and this will get into it in more detail in some of the writing, but you know, the rosary that he carries now doesn't have five decades on it. It's got 50 Hail Mary beads. And he prays multiple rosaries a day, so he's going to get all the decades in for the four sets. But he's got a set of rosaries, and I carry one now that just has 50 Hail Mary beads, and you can spend 50 Hail Marys on one mystery. And you know, I don't know about you, but once in a while you'll start to thinking about or meditate on or contemplating a mystery, and you're not quite ready to leave that one yet, but you've already reached the 10th Hail Mary. So, you know, do you just stall and stop with the Hail Marys, or do you continue with the Hail Marys and keep thinking about that until you're ready to move on? And so, again, the rosary is a means. It's not about the process. It's about where it leads us to. So, again, in this day and age, with everything that's going on around us, there's no better time to pray the rosary. If you're praying one a day, consider praying two a day. If you're doing two a day, try three a day. But whatever we can do, especially in the Pope Francis's and our own Archbishop Nelson Perez, their call for prayer and fasting again this Friday for world peace, you know, part of that prayer can certainly be the rosary. So, again, this hour on Wednesday has flown by. We got just about a minute left. I see that my good friend Peter's already on the line. And we're going to talk more about, you know, what's going on today and the solution that Jesus and His Blessed Mother have given us through the writings of Luisa Picaretta and this gift of the divine will. And it, you know, there's been prophecy throughout all of history, and a lot of the prophets, you know, Jesus even talks about it. A lot of these prophets, you know, Jesus told the apostles, when he's telling the Pharisees that, you know, I sent the prophets and you killed them. And I didn't mention, I meant to, with St. Anthony Mary Claret, according to one of the sources I looked at, he was threatened 18 times. They wanted to kill him because the powers that be didn't like what he was preaching. Probably made him a bit uncomfortable, especially with some of the farming reforms that he was looking to do in Cuba. So, you know, no good deed goes unpunished, but we have the solution. So thanks for being with me in this first hour. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Peter DePalma and Father B. Thomas Celso. Don't go away. We'll be right back.